We talked yesterday about projects that are aimed at preserving indigenous language or endangered languages. You can listen back to that conversation at our website. But we've got a story for you about a small town in Minnesota that's been building bridges between the white and the native communities by making signs in public spaces bilingual, Ojibwe and English. Joining us now, Anton Troyer, professor of Ojibwe at Bemidji State University in Bemidji, Minnesota, author of the book coming out this spring, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Indians But Were Afraid to Ask. So first of all, Anton, let me ask you, do the people who are seeing the Ojibwe words on these public signs, do they even know how to say them?
Yes, we have, in addition to developing bilingual signage, been developing web-based materials that have audio support for that. So it's been growing. I think for me, one of the exciting things, my mechanic who I've been using for decades now, just this past spring when I was paying for my tires, when I was all done, said, Miigwech, Kikawabam, and Minawa. And that was the first time he had ever engaged me in Ojibwe, and he had no formal classes or lessons or anything, but was just picking up kind of the grassroots material and signage and stuff on the website, and was able to do that and feel comfortable doing that, which I think is maybe even more important.
How many fluent speakers of Ojibwe are left?
Well, there's certainly room for some good research on that. Ojibwe is one of the largest tribes in North America. There are 125 communities in Canada and about 60 or so communities in the United States. And so in the United States, we are depleted in speakers. There might be 1,000 or so left, although there are many thousands more in Canada. So the overall population might be 10 to 12,000 speakers.
You know, let me ask you, is there any kind of reluctance on the part of Ojibwe speakers to share the language? Does it matter whether the person is native or not?
Not in this area. The vision was, when you go to Hawaii, you know what the word aloha means, no matter where you're traveling from. And when you come to Bemidji, you should know what words like anin and buju mean. And really didn't see that as intrusion into cultural things. Some other indigenous languages, their communities tend to be a little bit more guarded about sharing not just cultural information, but language information. And I haven't really run into that in Ojibwe country so much.
So, ideally speaking, you get thousands more people who speak Ojibwe. How does that help the community there in Bemidji, Minnesota?
It helps in many different ways. For Ojibwe people, having support and reinforcement of language and culture, not just within their communities, but outside of that, does a lot. Native people have had all kinds of ugly chapters in their history, which have served to build distrust of government institutions, educational institutions, economic institutions, and providing safe space for them to engage and participate in those things is really a welcome and pretty new development. And I think for non-native people, too, having a safe way to reach out and engage the native communities that they don't understand that well is a really critical first step. It doesn't solve all the big problems, but it creates enough safe space where we can start a meaningful discussion that can get to those big problems.
Anton Troyer, professor of Ojibwe at Bemidji State University. Anton, how do you say thanks for joining us in Ojibwe?
Miigwech, Kapiganojian.